The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark from chapter 5.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus had crossed Lake Gennesaret again to the other shore in the boat, a large crowd gathered, and he stayed by the lakeside. Then one of the synagogue officials, Jairus by name, came up and, seeing Jesus, fell down and pleaded earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is desperately sick. Come and lay your hands on her to make her better and save her life." Jesus went with him, and a large crowd followed, pressing from all sides. Now there was a woman who had suffered from hemorrhages for 12 years. After long and painful treatment from various doctors, she had spent all she had without getting any better. In fact, she was getting worse. She had heard about Jesus, and she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. "If I can touch even the hem," she told herself, "I will be well again." Immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Immediately aware that healing power had gone out from him, Jesus turned to the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" The disciples said, "You see how the crowd is pressing you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus continued to look around to see who had done it. Then the woman came forward, frightened and trembling, because she knew what had happened to her. And she fell at Jesus' feet and told him the whole truth. "My daughter," Jesus said, "your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be free of your affliction." While Jesus was still speaking, some people arrived from the house of the synagogue official to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why put the teacher to any further trouble?" But Jesus overheard the remark and said to the official, "Don't be afraid. Just believe." Jesus allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and James's brother John. They came to the official's house, and Jesus noticed all the commotion, with people weeping and wailing without restraint. Jesus went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and crying? The child is not dead, but asleep." At this they began to ridicule him, and he told everyone to leave. Jesus took the child's mother and father and his own companions and entered the room where the child lay. Taking her hand, he said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." Immediately, the girl, who was 12 years old, got up and began to walk about. At this, they were overcome with astonishment. Jesus gave the family strict orders not to let anyone know about it and told them to give the little girl something to eat. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Jairus was a man of faith, like any other man of faith. But in the time when he lived, he never studied scripture unless he was with a group of at least 10 men. They would open the Word of God, study the Word, seek application for whatever was going on in their life, and together they would pray. My imagination tells me that when Jairus' daughter fell ill, he turned to this group of men. He turned to this group of men and to the Word of God, and they studied together the Scripture. They brought up Jairus' daughter, they prayed together, they prayed for her healing. And Jairus, being a man of some influence, probably did everything he could do to try and heal his daughter. He, like every other human being I know, did everything within his power, everything under his control, everything he could think of, everything within his ability to try to cure his daughter. And when that didn't work, he, like any other human being I know, became desperate. He got to that place where he had nothing to lose, and his desperation got a hold of him. And this is why he sought out Jesus. because he was thinking in his desperation, if I but get the healer to touch her, she will live. The woman in this story was also a person of faith, a woman of faith like every other woman of faith. And when she became ill, she did the things people of faith do to try to become well. I'm sure she also gathered with her community of women. She prayed, she sought the scripture, but nothing worked. And because she was bleeding, she could no longer be out amongst men. She couldn't be in public. She was ostracized and alone. She spent all the money that she had, the scripture tells us, on every physician she could find in order to become well. But like every other human being, when the things within her control and the things within her ability and the things within her power didn't work, she too became desperate. She heard of this Jesus, but she knew she couldn't be in public. She knew she couldn't ask him to touch her. So she thought to herself, I have nothing to lose. If I just touch the hem of the clothing that has touched him, I will be made well. And so off she went to find him. Of course, both Jairus and the woman were right. The touch of Jesus healed Jairus' daughter. And just touching the hem of the cloak that touched Jesus healed the woman. But my question is, why do we wait till we're desperate? Why do we wait until we have nothing to lose before we turn to Jesus? Jesus has promised to be our friend, our companion, our God, our healer, all the time, everywhere. Jesus should be the first person we turn to. We shouldn't wait until we've gathered with our friends and opened the scripture and sought meaning there to apply to our lives and seen that perhaps not work before we turn to Jesus. It shouldn't be after we've spent all our money, after we've sought all the physicians, after we've been ostracized, after we've spent 12 years trying before we turn to Jesus. You already have nothing to lose. And perhaps we don't have to reach the place of desperation before we turn to the one who has power to change everything. Jesus is willing to walk with us, to talk with us, to touch us, to heal us, even to heal the things that are wrong, broken, out of kilter, out of whack, that perhaps we can't even name yet. Jesus is willing to be at work. And the news is even better than that. We don't have to touch him in person. We don't even have to touch the things that Jesus has touched in order to be healed. We're so far removed now that all we have to do is touch the things that have touched 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 Jesus to be healed. There is a legacy and an inheritance that we have received. The things that have touched 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 Jesus. And they're all around us all the time. So there are three things. The first is the land and all of its goodness. Scripture tells us that Jesus was there in the beginning, that God in three persons were there in the beginning at creation, God's spirit hovering over the water, and God with word, the word being Jesus, the living word, speaking all things into being. So if you want to touch the things that have touched the things that have touched the things that have touched Jesus, spend some time listening to the land. Listen to the sky, to the trees, to the water, to the birds. Listen to what the land is telling you. And seek relationship with the land to seek healing. Second thing, the beloved community. Jesus touched Peter, and Peter touched the people around him, and they touched other people. And this touching has gone on in an unbroken chain throughout the centuries. We're part of a lineage of saints who have touched the people who've touched the people who've touched the people who touched Jesus. And that lineage of faith is no small thing. People who throughout time and space have trusted God, who have turned to God for sustenance, for help, for healing, for wholeness, they are a source of strength and healing for all of us. So turn to the community of faith and ask the community of faith to pray for you. Ask the community of faith to talk with you, to walk with you, to touch you, to hold you, to laugh with you. What's the third thing? It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. It has endured through centuries and been passed on through millennium to tell the story of God's great goodness, God's redemptive and saving power throughout all of human history, God's love for all humanity and all creation, bound in the Word and carried to us to our present time like a priceless treasure. Turn to the Scripture. It will speak to you. It does speak. It is a living address from God to you right where you live. And God, in miraculous compassion, has not only left us these three great legacies of all creation, the community of faith, and the living Word, but God has combined them together in special, what do we even call them? In special events called the sacraments, where God comes to us and touches us directly. In baptism, where we have the combination of water, which is the substance of every living thing. It's the thing that every living thing has in common, that thing that God has created. Water coupled with the sacred Word of God and expressed in the faith community to claim us as God's own children in the sacrament of baptism, to tell us that we were beloved and claimed long before we ever had a thought about God or ever had a notion about God, that we were claimed and brought into this community of faith and this community of God, beloved of God. And then Holy Communion. Wheat and grapes processed by our own hands into bread and wine, the stuff of nature coupled with our own work, melded with the Word of God, the institution of Holy Communion happening at the Last Supper the night before Jesus was murdered and celebrated it within sacred community, within the faith community, to become a sacrament of God incarnate, becoming present for us, to empower us in the moments of our everyday life, to feed us, sustain us, and send us forth in the world to do good work. These are the things that have touched 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 Jesus and have real power for us. We don't have to wait until we have nothing to lose. We don't have to wait until we're desperate. We don't have to wait until we've spent every dime that we have, until we've turned over every stone and exhausted all of our resources. These gifts of God are the source of our endless resources. You have nothing to lose, but everything to gain, because God has taken care of everything. And Jesus' healing power is present now and always in the gifts that are all around you. So if you're struggling, listen to the land. If you're challenged, draw on the faith community. If your soul feels empty, turn to the living Word of God. And if you want the real power and healing of the church, turn to the sacraments. Turn to the place where they live always with that coupled power of God to heal us, sustain us, and bring us new life. Grace and peace be with you. And may you know the gifts of God alive and real for you right where you are. You've got nothing to lose and everything to gain. Amen, and thanks be to God.